الحمد لله الذي بنعمه تتم الصالحات، الحمد لله الذي قدر كل ما هو آت وكل ما هو فات. نسأله عز وجل موجبات رحمته، نسأله الفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار. I bear witness there is no deity save Allah, and that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger and his mercy to all mankind. We pray to him to shower his mercy and his blessings upon all the prophets and upon Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon all of them. Dear brothers and sisters, my khutbah today will be about al-ihsan. And usually it is translated the doing of good. Al-muhsineen, the doer of good. Inshallah, you will see today in my khutbah, I believe this translation is not encompassing the depth and the breadth of the meaning of al-ihsan. And why I chose this topic, when we look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was visited by an unknown man, he was sitting with the companions, and they saw a man that they didn't know, because let's remember, Medina was still small, and everybody knew everyone. So Umar, who narrated this hadith, and was in Imam Muslim, he said, the man comes in, we don't know the man. He sat next to the Prophet, tied to the Prophet, had his hands on the Prophet, and they couldn't understand why, because usually you don't do that unless you feel that you are very close to him. Nobody will do that unless that person felt he was very close to the Prophet. And the man asked the Prophet, what is Islam? So the Prophet ﷺ counted for him the five pillars, La ilaha illallah, and the prayers and the fasting, you know. The five pillars. He said, you spoke the truth. So it's like, who are you to validate what the Prophet is saying? But they didn't say anything. So he asked the Prophet, what is the iman? What is faith? So the Prophet counted the articles of faith. To believe in God and the angels and the hereafter and, you know, the articles of faith. So when he finished, he told the Prophet, you spoke the truth. You were right. So the companions were wondering, who's this guy? The third one, he said, ma huwa al-ihsan, which is the focus of my khutbah. He said, an ta'abud Allah ka'annaka tarah, that you worship Allah as if you are seeing him. Wa lam takun tara fa innahu yarak. And if you're not able to reach that level, bear in mind that he is aware of what you're doing. So if you notice, the interesting part about the hadith, it was toward the last part. Some accounts say about 3 months before the Prophet passed away. It's interesting. Very almost toward the end. After a few days, the Prophet was sitting with Umar, and he told him, Umar, do you know who was that man? He said, no. He said, that was in Jibreel. Came to teach you your religion. جَاءَ لِيُعَلِّمَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. Of course, in such a small setting, what the Prophet said is he captured the essence of this deen, of this religion. Islam, Iman, and Ihsan. So it really puts the Ihsan into a spotlight. When you go to the Quran, something also captures our attention when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. Allah enjoins justice. We all know the value of justice and ihsan. So it becomes clear to us that al-ihsan here means a lot. Iman and Islam and ihsan in one setting. And the Prophet said, you know, he came to teach you your religion, And then the Quran says, "Inna Allah ya'muru." There's an amr here about the ihsan. So let us really jump into it a little deeper so we understand what this is all about. Because of the complexity of the word, so I have to, and bear with me a little bit, I have to start with the Arabic. I have to really touch the what is the root of this word so we can understand the depth of it. This way we can understand the benefit, why it is so important. Those one who know Arabic, we know that al-ihsan, it has few derivatives, but from al-hasan. Hasan al-shakli means when you say someone, he is hasan al-shakli, that he looks good, beautiful. When you say al-husn, is beauty. When someone gives you something and you tell him, go and hasin, take it and embellish it, make it look better. There's difference between hasin and salih. Salih, go fix it. There's something wrong with it. Hasin, embellish it, make it look more attractive, more excellent, more perfect, and so on and so forth. When you look at the Quran, you will find that this concept, with all its depth and breadth, you will find it used, al-hasanatu, the word we all hear about, the hasanat, right? Yudhibna sayyat. It's very interesting. Al-hasanat, it is the best of your work that will nullify the worst of your work. And you will find the Quran, so many verses, tens. I was trying to count them. There were so many verses, whether it is al-hasanat, whether it is al-hasan, whether it is al-muhsineen. It is used in such a way that it is all over the Quran. So really that is very intriguing and very interesting, because when you will realize what the ihsan is, really the derivative, it is a beauty. Some people went far to say excellence and perfection. You could go that, you stretch it a little bit, but definitely beauty is the foundation of al-ihsan. With that introduction, now let us go into it a little bit and try to understand what this is, why. The first thing, as a believers, when the Quran tells us, وَأَحْسِنُ إِنَ اللَّهِ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, that be that person of beauty, that does beautiful things, that embellishes things, because God loves those one who are the doer of that. Definitely for a believer like us, who we're here, and people like us, right away you jump and you say, okay, where is it? Let me see how I can embrace it. But sometimes you also, we are a people of curiosity, people of knowledge, people want to understand beyond than just, yes, God loves it, I will do it. But what, unfortunately, the satanic whisper, what's in it for you? What's why? Well, I have to here now talk about, I believe, and I'm sure a lot of people in my position and this Islamic center and great number of Muslims believe Islam, it is a religion that its primary objective is to improve us as a human being, to make us better. So Islam, its entirety is to take us to a higher level of who, of our potential, who we can be. And in the development of the human nature, I won't get philosophical in any way, but I have to touch on two important things because that would help us understand this important yet profound and deep word and concept, al-ihsan. When we look at self-development, one of the things the Quran brings to our attention, an-nafs al-lawwama. It is chapter 75, verse number 2. وَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالنَّفْسِ اللَّوَّامَةِ. I will call to witness the accusing voice of man's own conscience. There's that inner voice that is in us that help us develop and help us to become a better individuals. And the philosophers over time and the scholars and the sociologists and the psychologists, this has been on the mind and the discussion for hundreds, if not thousands of years. And they debate whether this is something an innate part of the futra or it is something that is learned. It is not the point for this khutbah. But definitely we all agree and everybody agree that this innate voice helps direct us, helps pretty much call us to avoid traps, to avoid mishaps, to avoid doing the wrong, and guide us to the right, and so on and so forth. That's why somebody will say, well, he has, his conscience is alive, or her conscience is dead, or vice versa, right? Because the conscience is that alarm voice that comes and says, watch out, you did today the way you spoke to your brother was wrong, the way you dealt with your spouse was bad, the way you behaved at work was not according to the beautiful individual who you are to be, and so on and so forth. We all experience that, right? It's part of daily struggle. But this part, brother and sister, it is more to correct, to fix, to re-guide us of the path we go, because at the end of the day, we all want to become that good individual. So this nafs al-lawama, it comes and says, Hassan, you missed today, you took the wrong route, let's reorganize. Let's go back to that. This is where you want to go. This is what pleases Allah. This is what is good for your family, and so on. So it re-guides you. So this is a nafs al-lawama. This is the conscience that we have. Now it comes to al-ihsan, brother and sisters. It is something different. Al-ihsan, which is when you are, and this is where the Prophet ﷺ beautifully said it, and تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ. Al-ihsan, you want to reach that level to connect with that source of beauty, you have to feel God's presence. One time, Ibn Umar, the son of Umar, was going around the Kaaba. And somebody came to him and wanted to talk to him about marriage. And he was a little disappointed, like, you are talking to me at the time like this, وَنَحْنُ نَتَرَاءَ رَبَّنَا, and we are looking at our Lord. وَنَحْنُ نَتَرَاءَ رَبَّنَا. Ibn Umar, the son of Umar, reached the point where he felt God's presence to the extent as if you see him. And of course, like that Rukul Absar, nobody can see God, but he meant that he was so present in such an intense way as if he is looking at him. So the Prophet is saying is that we all know one of the attributes of Allah, well, Jameel. Inna Allah Jameel yuhibbu al-jamal. It was narrated Imam Muslim also that Allah is beautiful and he loves beauty. He is the source of all beauty. And when we look at the Quran, you will find plenty of verses talking about that attribute of God that he has perfected and made things so embellished, so beautiful. So what the Prophet is saying is when you reach that point and you feel God present in such an intense way, you feel the source of beauty emanates in such intense way, it cannot but to touch you and to embellish you and to improve you, so you become a source of beauty yourself. So that, brothers and sisters, is a different role. The nafs al-lawama, it guides. Al-ihsan, it elevates, it transcends, it embellishes who we are and makes us a people who are keen and bent on producing al-ihsan, to produce beauty. So I think I will, with that introduction, that it might sound theoretical, bit philosophical. Now, and I unfortunately had to do that. Now let's go into an example, because that will help us really realize how do we do that. So yes, okay, so al-ihsan is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the source of beauty, and it's about beauty, it's about embellishment, we got that, and to feel God's presence, this is something, it's a tall order, but it is doable, as the Prophet said, and as many companions and others have experienced throughout their journey of life. So let us look into now, how do I take this important concept and how do I apply it to life? because this will help us understand it a little bit better. I picked a verse, brothers and sisters, that I find it a very powerful and very telling. It is Surah Al-Isra, chapter 17, verse 23. And وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهُ وَبِالْوَلِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. For the sustainer has ordained that you shall worship none but God. And وَبِالْوَلِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, and be kind and be generous and be a source who is treat your parents with such a beauty. Now, up to now, it is straightforward, but here you watch the word that Allah has used, al-ihsan. Now listen how the Quran paints the picture now. إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَهُمَا. When one of them or both of them get older of age, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍ. Don't say uff. Uff is, you know, when we were all kids, mainly mom, I wouldn't dare to say that to my dad, but mainly with mom, when she tells you frequently to do something, go mop, go do the dishes, go do your homework, and you don't do it, and she tells you again, you don't do it, at the end there's a level of frustration, like, it's enough. Allah is saying is, that is not acceptable. You do not do that. And the Quran continues, وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا, and don't be rude to them, don't say something rude to them, and be generous, be kind. The key here, brothers and sisters, if you look at this verse, it's started with al-ihsan. It's talking about how you paint that beautiful picture with your parents, and here the Quran zero in such very precise into details, very tiny details, something that, you know, you could have gone all day being kind to your parents. You went, picked them up, you took them to the doctor, you did this and this and this and this and this, and you've done great work. But along that way, something happened. And you might utter this little tiny detail that it might not be significant. But Allah is saying is, if you want to be embellished, if you want to reach the level of beauty that it is, by touch by the divine, by al-jamil, yuhibbul jamal, he is the source of beauty, he is beautiful and he loves those one who are a source of beauty, you have to pay attention to details. That, in my humble opinion, this verse, it opens the door not only into our relationship with our parents, but into how do we become a source of beauty. I'll give us a few examples. Let's say, you know, I was young, I lived in Syria for a few years, and one time I was so thirsty, and in Syria, wherever you walk, you will find a water fountain. They are famous for that. So I went, and then I grabbed the cup, and I was drinking the water of it, and then one thing, I pay attention to the cup by coincidence, not because usually we men are not good in details. I saw it decorated. It's a cup, metal cup. Why to decorate? But this is the touch, this is the embellishment, that when we are talking about to embellish something, to make it look better. Somebody makes a PowerPoint, and then the teacher will go ahead, make it look nicer. Don't make it look dry. So go add little picture, add little colors, make it more embellished, make it more attractive. Sometimes, how often we all heard people when they see something so stand out and said, what a beautiful thing to say. You said something that is, it touched a small detail or it focused, but it was so beautiful to the ears and to the people, and we hear it a lot. What a beautiful thing she said. Oh, what a beautiful thing he said. When sometimes you're generous and you do something, might be small, a small detail to someone, somebody will say, what a beautiful thing you've done. These are a different level of embellishment, different level of improvement. This is what the Prophet ﷺ is talking about, and this is what Islam wants us to do. On one hand, we need to guide our path to the right and attain to be a better people. But al-ihsan, it is where it will take us to be more embellished, to become a people of beauty, a source of beauty. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, in Allah yuhibbu al-muhsinin, Allah those love those one who do exactly this. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم أدعو الله. الحمد لله الذي كتب على نفسه الرحمة وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Dear brothers and sisters, as we heard in the first khutbah, Al-Ihsan, it is an important aspect of our faith that helps us grow, help us to develop to a higher level of who we are to be. We are to be the people of beauty, the people who can, wherever they touch, whatever they do, wherever they go, you will find beauty written all over them and what they do. And I gave us an example that I find it to be interesting from the Quran, which is example how important we attend to details. You want to beautify your act, your behavior, your look, your deed, your conduct. Details are important. So I'll give us a few examples that we can take away with today, which is very simple. And the Prophet ﷺ, all these are taught by the Prophet ﷺ. We should become people who embellish their looks. There are tens and tens and tens of hadith about the Prophet talking about the hair, talking about cleanliness, talking about the smell, how beautiful we should smell, talking how clean our clothes should be. I'm sure you've heard them before, but this is one way that we, as a believer, we should always be out there to beautify ourselves. The problem is when you beautify yourself and you look down at others, this is not allowed by the Prophet or by Islam. But generally speaking, we Muslims should be the cleanest, the best looking, the best groomed man and woman. So people see that we were been touched by the divine beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing is our character. When I was preparing, and you'll find the Quran continuously talking about being humble, talking about people who are very forgiving, people who let things go. In other words, and you will find always talking, in Allah yuhibbul muhsinin, Allah is saying is that those who refine and re-embellish the character, Allah loves those. In other words, beauty should also be part of our character. Last but not least, whether you are a taxi driver, whether you are a teacher, whether you are a coach, whatever position your role is, whatever you do, find the details that make things, whatever you do, looks better, looks more beautiful, looks more refined. And for us, whether we are at home, whether in our mosque, wherever we are, again, we make sure our surrounding is as beautiful as it can be. And that would be, as we've heard, that is pleasing to our Lord. And believe it or not, it is very attractive to each other, to the community, to the society, and will make the Muslim community really that embellished, a source of beauty, that whatever they do, it produces beauty. Let's pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify our hearts, to strengthen our faith, and to make us among those who follow the footsteps of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to make us among those who are touched by the divine beauty, to make us among those who produce beauty, to make us among those who love and be loved by beauty. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin aqim as-salah.